Thursday, October 13th. Having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, marijuana or cannabis has been in the news quite a bit. Just recently, the Wall Street Journal ran an editorial questioning the legalization of the use of marijuana. It's not their first editorial. Alyssa Finley, earlier this summer, wrote another article concerning the use of marijuana, brought up some very interesting statistics, alarming statistics.
In our culture, we have these rising crime rates, rising mental disorders, antisocial behavior. At the root of all of those is the spread of marijuana usage. Yet the government has now joined with the culture shapers of our society to normalize marijuana. At one time, our government acknowledged the sociological and medical analysis of the use of marijuana and appropriately labeled it as the number one gateway drug. Those statistics that affirm marijuana as a gateway drug have not disappeared. They have been solidified and are more obvious today than they were before. We've all heard Kamala Harris recently make her comment, "Oh yeah, marijuana use. Yeah, I've used it. It just brings joy and we need more joy in the world." Republican and Democrat elected leaders saying, "Hey, we need to remove the restrictions." And it's not just simply we're going to remove the legal penalties and the criminalization. What we're going to do is declare the normalization of marijuana. Hey, it's really nothing. It's just a side afternoon thing that you might, quote unquote, smoke a joint. Well, that's not the case, Tom. One of the principles of a Christian world and life view is to look at life with honesty. When a Christian world and life view has the hope of the power of the gospel and the righteousness of God in the gospel, that we can be forgiven and changed by God's grace and become an instrument to the glory of God instead of an instrument of sin's curse on society, that gives us the freedom now to say, hold it. We've got the solution to sin. We got the solution to evil in the power of the gospel. So let's be honest to take a look at what's happening around us. What is it that we need to maintain public policy for the well-being of the public? That's what public policy ought to be about. You've got to be willing to identify what a true issue is. Well, now what we're saying is pot, it's just a recreational activity. It's like having a beer when you're watching a football game. No, it's not. And the evidence is overwhelming. But what happens is our government has entered into the culture war of normalizing marijuana and denying the connection it has to antisocial behavior and the increase of lawlessness in those very areas that have embraced it as a normal and natural part of life, just simply a little respite moment when you, quote unquote, smoke a joint.
Harry, on top of everything else that you have said, President Joe Biden just last week came out and said that he was going to pardon a vast number of people who were in jail and prison for marijuana possession or marijuana use. Harry, there's been some people in leadership that have said that he does not have the authority to do that. But your reaction to President Biden's proclamation?
If you'll watch the government, when they've got something that they want to communicate and avoid discussion, they'll do it on the weekend. They'll do it with no leak before the announcement. In other words, this announcement just came out of the blue. Now, it wasn't unexpected because Biden has continued to evolve in his view of these cultural issues, from abortion to same-sex marriage to transgenderism, now engagement in the normalization of marijuana usage in the culture. Why has he done that? Well, there is a lot of finances that are pouring in to the campaigns of the politicians who will embrace the normalization of marijuana. But Tom, let me come back to the announcement itself. Number one, there was no alert it was coming. It was consistent with things that he had promised. And to be more specific, and he emphasized it, he is going to pardon all federal prisoners who are guilty of simple marijuana possession and usage. In other words, no other crimes would be attached to that. I have not done the primary research on this, but a number of commentators that I know do that kind of research and have people that do that kind of research tell me that that actually means nobody. He's not pardoning anybody. Their position is there are no federal prisoners. Now, there may be state prisoners, but there are no federal prisoners for, quote, simple marijuana use. And the reason why is that those who have been arrested actually have been arrested because of compound criminal issues, that they were guilty of criminal activity, and you can trace back their engagement in that criminal activity to their marijuana use before, after, and during, but they're not there simply for a marijuana case. Actually, it'll be interesting if somebody could go and find out just how many people were released by this federal pardon. Now, does he have the authority to do that? Yes, I think he does. As you may know, state constitutions give governors the power of pardon, and our federal constitution gives the president the power of pardon. I don't think it's good policy. I don't think he should do it. I think it's a greater part of the attempt to not only decriminalize marijuana use, but normalize marijuana use in our culture. But I am convinced the statistics are clear, Tom, that marijuana usage leads to antisocial behavior, mental issues, and rising crime rates in the area of concentrated marijuana legalization.
Harry, returning to the Alyssa Finley article, she writes, mass shooters at Representative Gabby Giffords' constituent meeting in Tucson, Arizona, 2011. A movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, 2012. The Pulse nightclub in Orlando, Florida, 2016. The First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas, 2017. The Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida in 2018. And then more recently, the Uvalde school shooting. Harry, a friend of the Uvalde shooter, said that the shooter complained that his grandmother, whom the shooter lived with, would not allow him to smoke marijuana. Harry, all of these violent shooters had something in common. They were all heavy marijuana users.
Not only the ones you've quoted, but many more antisocial events, criminal activities, there is a clear connection between the criminal and marijuana usage. But notice the absence of this in investigative journalism, as there's a self-editing and removal of the connection. The reality is what we established years ago, that marijuana is a gateway drug. And Tom, even worse now, the places where it is legalized, people are going to the black market marijuana, which is up to 20 times more addictive and behavior affecting, 20 times more powerful than it was in the 1960s when this effort to normalize it was initiated. The relationship to antisocial behavior, the rising statistics in mental health, and its impact on those who engage in criminal lethal activity. We actually have our hands on the statistics that show us one of the main contributors into lethal criminal activity. And we get fascinated on the instruments that they use for this criminal activity, but we don't go to the very root of it. And now we are attempting to say marijuana usage is just merely a little sidetrack, like having a glass of wine prior to dinner. From a Christian World and Life View, I am simply again reminded that as a believer, we have the opportunity and the ability to look at the issues of life and be honest about what's evil, what's sin, and what it means to flee temptation, to produce public policy that creates an environment whereby people can live with security and safety. Whenever God is rejected and whenever there is a rebellion against the Almighty, public policy actually becomes schizophrenic as we attempt to call evil good and good evil and then complain about the consequences of the evil that we call good and its evil consequences in the society. We can contend in the public square from a Christian World and Life view for policy that actually benefits society instead of unraveling society.
There are a number of ways you can stay in touch with Harry Reeder and Today in Perspective. The best way is by downloading the Briarwood app. It is available through your favorite app store. Simply go to that app store, type in Briarwood PCA. You'll have access to audio, video, and written resources that will encourage and challenge your walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll stop by again tomorrow, Friday. We'll be featuring our Ask the Pastor segment as we continue our conversation and as we apply a biblical worldview to put the issues of today in perspective.